This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day, be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. When I was 26, I went through one of the scariest times of my life. In my senior year of seminary, I was taking a class that involved small group discussions. And in one of these discussions, I sat across the table from a second career student. In his first career, this student had been a surgeon. During our class, our discussion, he kept looking at me, which was confusing and honestly a little bit disconcerting. We were not particularly close, and I could not imagine why was he looking at me so intently this whole discussion. So when he approached me afterwards, I was initially happy that he was coming to offer an explanation. And then he explained. He said, "I don't know if you already know, but you have a lump on your throat." I did not know. And like anyone who finds they have a lump, I was scared. I was 26 years old. I was in the last year of seminary, ready to go off and begin really the trajectory of my whole life, go off and be a pastor. And suddenly I had this lump. I did not know what this meant for my health, for my future. Was it serious? Was it benign? Was it malignant? Was it cancer? I was really scared. And I was scared to tell my parents. Not because I worried that they would not support me. I knew my mom would jump on the first flight to Chicago if I asked her to. No, I was scared because I had to tell the people I love most in the world and who love me most in the world that I had this lump that might be a really serious thing. And then about 5 years later, after watching that lump on my thyroid with regular ultrasounds, The doctor told me that it had started to grow, and the biopsy this time had come back suspicious. The surgeon thought it would be best to remove my thyroid and do a conclusive biopsy of the lump to find out if it was cancerous. Again, I was scared. I was only 31 at that time. And again, I had to tell the people I love most in the whole world just how scared I was. Now, I was very lucky. My surgery went well. I had a complete thyroidectomy and took out some of the parathyroids, and the biopsy came back benign. I was very lucky. But those years of not knowing, of getting regular checkups, of wait and watch until it grows and changes, they were scary. It's scary when our health takes a turn. And it can be very scary to tell our loved ones because suddenly it becomes very real. And I think it's the same kind of fear that my mom felt last fall when she finally called to say, "Katie, I need you to come home to Cleveland because I am really scared about your dad's health." I know that many of you have experienced this kind of fear. You have received difficult health news about yourself or about a loved one. You've had to tell the people you love most in the world and who love you most that you are going through something scary, that you've received a bad diagnosis, or sometimes even worse, you are in that waiting process of you just don't know what is wrong, but you know something is. Many of you have gone through the very difficult news that someone you love is dying or has died. It is scary, and it's really hard. And I think Jesus experiences some of that fear in our gospel lesson today. Our lesson from Matthew today is what biblical scholars and theologians call a passion prediction, the first of four in Matthew's gospel. Now, passion prediction is a very academic term, and I think a very cold way of describing what Jesus does in this text. He's not just predicting the passion. He is telling the people who love him most in the entire world, his nearest and dearest, he is telling them that he is going to die. In this text, Jesus starts to say goodbye to his family. And it's really scary, and it's really hard. Especially because Jesus doesn't have to die. He does not receive a terminal diagnosis. He could just stop. Stop his ministry. Stop making everybody so angry, Jesus. If he just stops, then the religious officials won't be mad at him anymore. Rome will not be able to convict him of treason and execute him. He doesn't have to die. That's why Peter is so upset. That's why Peter says, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." I think Jesus responds so sharply to Peter in this moment because he's not just talking to Peter. He's talking to himself. Jesus doesn't have to die. And maybe in this moment, when Peter protests his death so openly, there's a very human part of Jesus that doesn't want to die. Maybe Jesus is thinking exactly what he will say in the Garden of Gethsemane. "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." I think Jesus is so sharp with Peter because he's speaking not just to Peter, but to himself. He needs that temptation to save himself to get behind him. Jesus understands how it feels to prepare to die. He understands what it feels like to tell the people who love him most goodbye. And he knows how it feels when someone he loves is dying. He weeps at the news of Lazarus' death. Jesus understands. He knows how it feels to die and leave your loved ones behind. He knows how scary and difficult it can be. Jesus chooses to go to the cross. He chooses to die, in part so that we know that he understands something that we will all go through. My siblings, being human, it means that we go through some very scary and difficult things in our lives. And when we do, we are not alone. God is with us, just as God has always been with us in our suffering. And our lesson from Exodus, God says, "I have heard the cry of my people, I know their sufferings." God hears our cry and God knows our sufferings. And when we have to go through these very difficult times in our life, God tells us the same thing that God told Moses. I am with you. God is with us. When Moses was tossed into probably the scariest, most difficult calling of his life, when he felt just woefully inadequate for the hardships that were before him, God's response was, I will be with you. God is with us. God hears our cries and knows our sufferings. When I have gone through the scariest times in my life, when I was worried for my own health, and when I fear for my dad, when the doctors told us that he was going to die, I have prayed the least eloquent prayers of my entire life. Because in those very scary moments, all I could say to God was no. Please, God, no. Just no. I prayed that prayer over and over and over again. Please, God, no. I don't want to be sick. No. Please, God, no. I don't want my dad to die. No. Just no. It was not eloquent, but it was honest. It was the prayer of my heart. Because in those moments, all I could say to God was a protest of what I feared the most. And in that very raw and honest prayer, I knew I was not alone. God heard my cries and knew my suffering, and Jesus was with me. My siblings, being human means that we go through some scary things and some really hard things. Whether it's our own health and life or the health and life of someone that we love. And our suffering can be raw, and our cries will be ineloquent and honest. And through all that hardship, God hears us, and God knows our suffering, and God is with us. Jesus, who died on the cross so that we would know that we are not alone, even in death, Jesus is with us too. Amen.